We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Ghost, we ask that you be with us now and reveal treasures which are hidden in Scripture to us. We pray that you open our hearts and make them receptive to the truths which you have for us, and that we may increase in our love for our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." A few thoughts to begin with. The verses that we're looking at this morning reveal a night vision. This is one of the many night scenes in Scripture, all of very great importance. Night scenes are extremely important. Remember the context. David's life is on the line here, as well as the lives of his three godly friends. So there's a battle going on, a battle of life and death. It all revolved around a secret dream which the powerful king had, and also the interpretation of that dream. And this night scene was recorded by the Holy Spirit for us in order that we may learn valuable lessons from it. It is extremely important to begin with that this battle for life and death is being fought and won in the prayer closet. Daniel pleaded for the king for some more time, and with it, the promise that he would reveal the dream to the king and show the interpretation of that dream. The first thing that Daniel did was go into his house. He shared the matter with his three friends, and then they took the matter to the Lord in prayer. We see here an example of the faith that the prophet Daniel had. Here is faith in action. Think of what the Holy Spirit tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Notice, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Not he that cometh to God must know that he is. And it's right here that we are in danger of being deceived. Knowing is one thing, believing is quite another. Knowledge is in the head, faith is in the heart. And we can't help but think of the following passages. Isaiah 29, verse 13. "Wherefore the Lord said, For as much as this people draw near unto me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." Oh, they knew there was a God, all right. But really, they didn't believe it for a minute. Matthew 5, verse 8, words of the Son of God. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips. But their heart is far from me. Oh, they knew there was a God, all right. But they really didn't believe it for 1 minute. How often we so easily can be guilty of the same thing. We know there's a God. But if we really believe that God exists, and if we really believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, we would come to him first instead of going off on our own and coming to God as an afterthought. It's a warning here for us. Therefore, we are to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Deception is a very dangerous thing, and the one who is deceived doesn't even know it. Therefore, we should daily pray under the Holy Spirit to create in us a clean heart and to keep us from being deceived. There's another thing here that doesn't really jump out at us, but oh, is it ever important? Notice also that Daniel praises God before he had told the vision to the king to see if the king would really believe it or not. That's important. And there's a reason for this. As far as Daniel is concerned, you could almost say that he doesn't care whether the king believes the dream or not. The important thing is that Daniel was a true prophet. And unlike the false prophets have people who have itching ears and they tell them what they want to hear. And the false prophets are always looking ahead to see what the result of their preaching is going to be. Daniel doesn't do that. He's a true prophet. He received the meaning of the dream and the dream itself from God, and that's it. And he preaches and teaches the truth. And he's going to go to the king, and he's going to tell the king, "Thus saith the Lord." Then it's up to the king. He can take it, or he can leave it. But it really doesn't make any difference to Daniel, and it certainly doesn't make any difference to God. The dream is going to be fulfilled whether the king accepts it or whether he doesn't. So Daniel is only concerned with preaching and teaching the truth, and let the chips fall where they may. That's why immediately Daniel praises God before he's even approached the king. The king is not the center of attention here. The Lord God is. The king is only a pawn on the board. As we read through the text, maybe you had the same idea that I did, and that is that the words of Daniel here sound rather like a psalm. We could almost call it Daniel's psalm. There are many parallels or almost quotes here with what is written in the Psalms. And the prayer of Daniel here shows his knowledge of Scripture. The truth of the matter is there are many prayers by the Holy Spirit in Scripture. And the Bible tells us we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Well, the Holy Spirit has also recorded some prayers for us, his own prayers, in his book. And these are the best prayers we possibly can offer because they're the words of the Holy Spirit himself. We'll notice a few things about this psalm of what we call the Psalm of Daniel. Verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Here's this term again, the God of heaven. This term tells us that God is in control of every single thing that is happening. And this is important for Daniel and his three friends to know. Their life is on the line. It all depends now on what the reaction of the king is. But Daniel and his friends can take either way, one way or the other. They may die for this, and that's all right. But they've told the truth. Or if God wills it, they can live. Then it says here that Daniel blessed the God of heaven. There's a truth here. That sounds odd, doesn't it? I had one of our elders come years and years ago and said to me, how can we bless God? Well, we bless God by praising him. That's the way we bless God. And Daniel blessed the God of heaven, and then he praised him. Daniel answered and said, this is verse 20, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. The name of God is God in his revelation to us, mainly from Scripture. Everything we learn about God in our study of the Holy Scripture is his name. We want God's name to be blessed forever and ever, from everlasting to everlasting, and it will be. Family situation, parents teach their children, and it passes, and then the children get married and have their children, and they teach their children, and it goes from generation to generation to generation. Eternity is in view here. We are going to be praising God forever and ever and ever in the kingdom of glory of Jesus Christ. Wisdom and might. The wisdom to know what rule is right, that's half the problem. The other half is the might and power to make it happen. And God has both. God knows how to control the world's seeming chaos. And he has the might to actually do what his wisdom discerns should be done. And that's being done in our own country, by the way. That's the only thing that keeps us sane. God is in control. This was made known to Daniel in the night vision, which he had just seen. And for us, this is the key theme of the book of Daniel. Verse 21, he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. Remember that, Nebuchadnezzar. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. The times and the seasons. To this wisdom and might must be added the element of time. Timing is so important in Scripture. There are many, many different words that denote a passage of time. We think of then, now, it came to pass, at that time, when the fullness of time was come. So often, many, many words talk about the timing in Scripture. We have seen many examples of God's timing in Scripture. Peter learned of it when the words were coming out of his mouth, I don't know the man, the cock crew, and the crowing of the rooster was God's timing. Son of God had said, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And the timing of it, when the rooster crowed, who can control that? Well, God can. And just at that time, it happened that Jesus was being led captive through the same room where Peter was. And Jesus looked at Peter. And Peter saw that look. Timing. Timing in Scripture. And you can see that in your own life. The timing of God in your own life. Specific instances here follow the removing and setting up of kings. No change comes by chance. There's a saying, time passes and much change doth bring and sets a bound to everything. That's in one of the hymns in our hymn book. That's true, but the timing is always God's timing. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. There have been a lot of inventions by mankind in this world, many in our own generation. So the question would be, what about the things that are still unknown to man, that haven't been discovered yet? Well, if they come to light, it's because God reveals them. You know, God doesn't usually get the credit for this, but that's where it comes from. Every invention that's been made by man has come from God. For Daniel, an illustration would be the dream of the king. It means little to God of these things that are deep and hidden. He knows. He knows what's hidden in the darkness. God is light, and even the darkness, light dwelleth with him. There's physical light, there's physical darkness. There's spiritual light, there's spiritual darkness. We're going to end the sermon in a minute or two with two long readings, which we were taught never to do at the seminary. You don't have long readings, but we're going to do it anyway. And we'll announce them when we get there, but they're both extremely important, and they illustrate exactly what we're talking about here in our text. But Daniel ends in verse 23, I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. You know, this whole text just drips with humility, doesn't it? It drips with humility. God is the one who's getting the credit for all this, and that's right where it belongs. It is a characteristic of a true child of God that he is thankful. Of the children of the devil, it's written, neither were they thankful. They just take things for granted. They're not thankful for anything. Child of God is thankful for everything. Because that when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. That's Romans 1, verse 21. But became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. There's thanks here and there's praise, a double shot. In the original, if we were going to translate it literally, God is mentioned first. The translation would be, Thee, O God of my fathers, I do thank and praise. And the truth here is that what God has done for his people in the past, he's going to do for us also. He doesn't change. Everything we have is a gift from God, and there's no room for pride here at all. We think of the saying, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift we have from God, and that's why we call it the present. Not too bad. Now these readings. Book of Job, probably the most ancient book in all Scripture. And I'm going to read from verses 7 through 25 in Job chapter 12. Listen very carefully. These two readings, Job 12 and Psalm 139, are readings that you may want to remember when you are carrying heavy crosses, because there's a ton of comfort in these words. So Job chapter 12, beginning at verse 7, but ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare it unto thee. I call these the pages of the volume of nature. We can learn a ton about God if we correctly read the volume of nature in the light of the written word. And that's what he's talking about. Who knoweth not in all these things that the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing? Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing? A dog doesn't have a soul. A cat doesn't have a soul. Animals don't have souls. That's man-made fiction. Holy Spirit says this, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Doth not the ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat? With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding. With him is wisdom and strength, he hath counsel and understanding. Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. This is God doing it. He's in full control of everything. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. Nebuchadnezzar is going to find this out. Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also, he searcheth them out, and they overturn the earth. With him is strength and wisdom. This is what we're looking at in Daniel's psalm. Strength and wisdom, he mentions. With him, Job says, is strength and wisdom. He deceiveth, and the deceived are his. Isn't that interesting? God is in control of that too. Nobody's getting by with anything. He leadeth counselors away spoiled, and maketh the judges fools. He looseth the bond of kings. Remember that, Nebuchadnezzar. And guideth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled, and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty, and taketh away the understanding of the aged. It's not only true that the older you get, the wiser you get. The children of Israel, children of the devil, it's not that way. He discovereth deep things out of darkness, and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. That's what we're talking about where we're at in Daniel here, in the night scene, things in the darkness. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. This is what the book of Daniel is all about. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth. These guys that think they're so powerful. One example would be Pharaoh, and in the book of Daniel, it's Nebuchadnezzar. Thinks he's so powerful. God takes away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Nebuchadnezzar is going to find this out. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. So that's the reading from the book of Job. Second reading I would like to give you is Psalm 139. I'm beginning at verse 1. And this applies to each one of us in our own lifetime, and in the experiences that we have. And don't ever let the devil get you to think when you're carrying these heavy crosses that God has forgotten about you. And I've heard old Christians say this, God has forgotten about me. Oh, no, no. Psalm 139, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God knows exactly what's going on in your life. And if you love him, know this, he loves you infinitely more than you love him. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Jesus Christ knows what crosses you're carrying because he has carried them before you and in a much heavier way than you or I ever will. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. He's guiding my path that I'm going to walk. He's guided the path I already have walked, and he's with me now. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. We can't begin to get a handle on this. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? If I wanted to get away from you, where would I go? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, behold, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. There were some people, explorers, struggling for their existence down in the Antarctic that got a great deal of comfort from what we're reading right now, that they weren't alone, God was with them. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. We can be in dark places where we can't find any way out. We don't know what to do. But God's there. And he sees what's going on in the darkness. You and I can't, but he can and he does. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. The love that God showed for us goes way, way back into eternity past. But now it's talking about before we were even born into the world, when we were living in our mother's womb. I will praise thee. Oh, thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The human body is the crown jewel of all creation. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance being yet unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. So if God was so interested in me when my body was being formed, is he going to forget me now? Is that the kind of God he is? How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Every elect child of God can say this. How precious are thy thoughts unto me. God has forgotten me? Oh no, he hasn't. He's thinking of you every split second of your existence. How great is the sum of these thoughts? If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Don't ever forget that. When I awake, he's talking about the resurrection mainly, when I awake, I am still with thee. The psalm that Daniel wrote here, and we're calling it the Psalm of Daniel, gives us the truth. And the truth is, God is a God of grace. God loves us infinitely more than we love Him. The love started back in eternity past. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all involved. Creation, redemption, sanctification, preservation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all involved. And it's going to last through eternity in the kingdom of glory of Christ. And the love that began in eternity past and is going to last through eternity future, that same love is with us right now. And this is what gives us comfort. That little poem again. Yesterday is history. It's over and done. Tomorrow is a mystery. That's in the future. Today is a gift of God, which is why we call it the present. And what a fitting thing that is as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ in a manger at Bethlehem.